Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Chipped ham and football. That's what Pittsburgh does. Welcome to the PG Sports Now Show, part of the Post Gazette's podcast network. I'm Brian Batko and excited to be joined today by two-time Super Bowl champ with the Steelers, jack of all trades, former offensive lineman Trey Essex. Trey, I think you're one of the more insightful follows on social media when it comes to the ex-player perspective. So really appreciate you taking some time out for us, man.
No problem, Brian. Thanks for having me.
Sure thing. And fun fact I came across while preparing for this, you have the same birthday as my lovely wife. So we're either going to get along great here or you're going to yell at me a lot. We'll see how it goes. But
you know who also shares that birthday? Mr. Charlie Batch is also.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that.
So yeah.
Nice. All right. Well, first, though, this show is presented by Pella. There's no better place to get new windows and doors installed in your home than Pella, who can help you save on energy costs year-round. Schedule a free in-home consultation with your local Pella windows and doors to find the right product for your home and budget. Give us a call at 866-593-1560 to discuss your project further. Again, call them at 866-593-1560 to get started planning on your new windows and doors installation with Pella Windows and Doors of Pittsburgh. Trey, I think the most newsworthy bit from Monday's bonus practice for the Steelers, offensive line-wise, Dan Moore back healthy, back with the starters now that he's healthy at left tackle. I think everybody could kind of agree that Broderick Jones acquitted himself pretty well in his first NFL start against the Ravens. You know, how surprised would you be if the Steelers go away from Broderick Jones and kind of go back to Dan Moore Jr. at this point?
Well, I think a little bit of Coach Tomlin's philosophy, and it was similar to when we were there, is that if you're doing what you're supposed to do as far as the rehab process and you were a starter when you got hurt, that you at least get a chance to reclaim your starting position when you come back. So I think that's probably the overriding reason why Dan Moore got inserted into the starting lineup. We'll see how practice goes this week. Obviously, I know this is a big week of practice, and you know who knows what the end result will be if Broderick will end up reclaiming. But I think he's going to give Dan Moore that chance and that confidence to re-earn his starting position since he lost it by being hurt.
Yeah, I guess that's the old Wally Pipp situation, right? You never want a starter to lose their job due to injury. But I guess you could argue, and like you alluded to there, we don't know yet. We'll see what Tomlin says at noon today at his presser. Maybe it's going to be a week of competition between those two in practice. I guess it's kind of tough to stage a position battle in week six when it's not training camp, it's not preseason. But I guess you could also look at it as, hey, Moore's not losing his job due to injury necessarily. He's losing it because a first round pick came in a huge spot, probably gave them a little bit better play than the previous guy had over the early portion of the season.
I mean, I would agree. I think Broderick did a really good job, especially against the Ravens and a division opponent, as big as that game was, and he stepped up in a big way. I also helped him that Isaac also had his best game, coincidentally enough, at the left guard position. And so it always makes your job a little bit easier when your left guard is on his P's and Q's for that week. And so I'm sure that helped Broderick out in a big way. And I know Isaac probably took that pride knowing that he was going to have Broderick making his first start as well. So, but yeah, one could argue that Broderick did outplay him to this point in the season, but Dan Moore did put a body of work together during the preseason and the offseason. And it was to the point where the coaches felt comfortable enough keeping Dan Moore at the starting at left tackle, which was surprising as much as they went through to get Broderick Jones in the draft. And so obviously they have a high pick invested in Broderick and they think highly of him, but they're going to at least give Dan more of that chance. I thought with all the adversity that Dan has been given this offseason and seeing how he played towards the end of last year, I think the coaches are doing right by him and giving him this chance to start again at left tackle.
I'll ask you this as somebody who wore a lot of hats for the Steelers offensive line when you were in Pittsburgh. You know, from what you've seen of Moore at left tackle and from what we've seen so far at Chukwuma Okorafor at right tackle, I mean, I guess one, could you see Dan flipping over there just given his, you know, his frame, his skill set? And two, I mean, do you think there should be any pressure on Chukes at this point, or do you think he's kind of held it down and, you know, somebody – you mentioned body of work. I mean, he's got the most body of work with the Steelers of anybody on this offensive line. Do you feel like he's kind of set there as long as he's healthy and or things don't go really poorly for him at some point in this season?
I think so. I think Chukes' worst game was against Oakland or L.A.
I still say Oakland sometimes too. Raiders, yeah,
the Vegas Raiders or whatever. And I think he didn't talk about him because so much attention was being paid to Broderick making his first start. But I thought Chiefs played really well against the Ravens this past week. And so I think he's pretty set. And obviously, I think Dan Moore's next step, if he does get his position taken and Broderick ends up becoming the left tackle, I think Dan Moore makes a good case as a swing tackle. He hasn't gotten enough reps at right tackle to really threaten Chukes in his position because it's – and people think that it's such an easy switch. But since Dan Moore has been – a left tackle his entire career since he's been in Pittsburgh, it's not an easy transition just to go and completely flip your body around and play right tackle, especially in the NFL, obviously. And so I think that's something that he would need some time at and some work at in practice if he does end up getting demoted and moving the switch to the switch tackle position. But I don't think Chukes has done bad enough. And I think actually he's actually improved as the season progressed that he shouldn't be worried about his position being taken.
I'm glad you bring up that issue of it's not as easy as people sometimes make it seem from the outside to just shuffle linemen. Because another thing I always hear is, you know, Steelers, they need to do something with the interior. Just put James Daniels at center, leave Nate Herbig at right guard. I mean, that's James Daniels is, yes, he has center in his background. He's done it in college, I think, and at the NFL level. But when you've been locked into a guard spot for the last, I guess, probably 3, 4, 5 years, for him, I mean, it's not just like, hey, all of a sudden go out there, use your muscle memory, snap the rock and block people, right? Like, you, and also from a, I guess, respect standpoint too, and what you're paying somebody like him, you don't just take him from where he's most comfortable and where he's earned his money to make a move that maybe will upgrade another piece of your line, right?
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
I appreciate that, Brian. I mean, us linemen don't really get the benefit of the doubt. They don't want to hear about the process. They just
it's not Madden. It's not Madden where you're just like, hey, this guy's an 82 at guard, but he's an 80 at center, so why don't I just move him over in my game?
No, that's not the case at all. I remember Madden, the catcher. You could put him anywhere, and he was like a 90-something. And so, but no, it's definitely not that simple. It's not a plug-and-play type of thing, especially when you've gotten guys who have gotten used to each other playing in certain positions like Mason and James have been playing center and right guard for now 20-plus games right next to each other. So it's not as easy. I know Mason has not had the best year. And anybody worried about their level of play, I think we've hit a hard ceiling with Mason's upside right now. And I hope maybe he's coming out of that funk and we – with the type of play calls, more downhill running, he'll get more into a groove. But up to this point, he has been probably the more disappointing lineman, I think, this far this year. Seeing that he's the leader and it starts with him, you want a little bit more production, especially with our history at the center position in Pittsburgh. But, right, it's not a situation where you want to take him out and put James in, even though he has the history. James also is getting into his groove at right guard. Him and Chooks have developed a good rapport on that right side of the line, and him coming back off injury, you don't want him to think about too much more, you know, moving to center. Keep him at right guard, keep Isaac at left. I think hopefully they can help prop Mason up and get him moving in the right direction.
Yeah, we're going to talk about Cole in the second half of the show a little bit more, because certain somebody is going to be up against him this weekend in Los Angeles, somebody that that Pittsburgh fans know well. But first, real quick, I wanted to ask you, what have your thoughts been on Nate Herbig in these couple games that he's played? Because he's another one that people say, oh, well, should they maybe bench Mason Cole and get Herbig in there? Even though, again, he's been playing right guard to this point, doesn't have a ton of experience at center in the NFL.
Well, I know that he's has had to at least learn all three interior positions in practice. So I'm sure he's got a lot of snaps in practice, but you got to also look at it from Kenny Pickett's side. Who is he most comfortable with under center and taking shotgun snaps from? But I thought Herbig has been very solid. We signed him for a reason, because he provides great depth in the interior position, and I thought he came in and played really well in James's stead. And so he's somebody I'm sure they've looked at over the bye week to see how much more could he give the offensive line. You know, is it possible from the play center? Has he got any first team reps? I don't know one way or the other, but at this point, our O-line, nobody is above reproach. I mean, everybody at this point needs to take a hard look at themselves in the mirror, because it has not been up to snuff as far as our play on the offensive line, and everybody should be worried about if their position could be potentially taken by somebody who's up and coming on the rise, because it has not been where we needed it to be.
Fair enough. Right now, a quick word from Goldberg, Persky, and White. If you were diagnosed with mesothelioma or lung cancer, call your local attorneys at Goldberg, Persky, and White. For over 40 years, their firms represented thousands of lung cancer and mesothelioma victims. Call 1-800-COMPLEX or visit gpwlaw.com for a free consultation. Also, quick shout out to Propel Schools. Their 13 public charter schools in Allegheny County will build a solid academic foundation for lifelong learning and offer more personalized instruction at every level during your child's kindergarten through 12th grade education journey. Give your children the quality education they deserve. Learn more and apply to Propel Schools by visiting propelschools.org. So yeah, Aaron Donald against the interior of the Steelers offensive line that we just talked about. This Rams defense, I feel like some no names in the back end, right? I mean, they've had to rebuild in a big way since winning that Super Bowl, but still some dogs up front. And it starts with a guy who some people think is one of the best players in NFL history. How do you stop a guy like that, Trey? And I guess you can't stop him. How do you limit or try to contain a guy like Aaron Donald? And what's your level of confidence in this particular Steelers group doing it on Sunday?
He is definitely one of those guys where you have to account for and game plan accordingly, because he can completely wreck an offense by himself single-handedly. He's that good. He's been that dominant. And everybody knows it at this point. There's no hiding it. There's no really way around it. You really got to account for him on every single play. And so the best thing I think you have to do with a guy like Aaron Donald, and a lot of guys who are elite pass rushers and run defenders, you can't be afraid, but you got to be smart. And I think with that, you have to run at him. Don't go shy away and try to run from him, because he makes a lot of his plays just from quickness and getting by on the backside. And so you really want to attack a guy like that, make him work more. You're going to have to double team him on almost every single pass play, sometimes triple team him, make sure running back is there, stays an extra second just in case that 9-9 flashes through. So give Kenny an extra more second, because he is just that much of a monster. And so I think we have our work cut off for us, because he's that good. But you see other teams have had success running the ball against the Rams, and most of it because they're running at 99 and then taking advantage when he does sub out of really establishing a physicality up front and not shying away from being physical with that defensive line.
And one thing about Matt Canada, you know, there's been every criticism in the world of him this season. I'm not going to ask you what an audible is, because I think that horse has been dead and buried for a while now. But one thing he's done well game plan wise is the Steelers have minimized some of these mutants that they've played against on defense, whether you talk about Bosa, Crosby, Myles Garrett, and that doesn't necessarily mean you're going to be super efficient or prolific on offense, but you're taking one major variable out of the equation at least. Now they got to do it with a guy who does his work on the interior, and you got to think that Aaron Donald is probably licking his chops a little bit, seeing what Mason Cole has put on tape. And you know, this isn't to you know, to beat down Mason Cole. He seems like a great guy, and he's obviously a leader of that team, but got to be real when we're critiquing the Steelers offensive line. You know, what in pass protection wise, I mean, yeah, you mentioned doubles, or is it just a matter of Mason Cole? Hey, you got to play better. And if not, it could be a long day for Pickett.
It's a combination of both, all of the above, because you got to bring a guard with you whenever you're blocking against Aaron Donald. You can't expect Mason to guard him one-on-one, because he will collapse that pocket and it will eliminate Kenny Pickett, who's already been a little tentative in the pocket, from stepping up. And we need him to be able to have room to step up in the pocket, not only to keep his eyes downfield to make the big plays, but for potentially to scramble, because I think that's a big part of what we're missing from Kenny, is his willingness to run and give that another threat, give the defense something else to think about. And so we need to solidify the inside of that pocket with 99. Back there roaming in it, it's harder than most weeks to do, but it's something that we got to emphasize this week in practice. Solid pass protection. We have the dogs on our defense to at least give good looks, especially a guy like Larry Ogunjobi and Montavious Adams and stuff like the guys who can give looks similar to what Aaron Donald could do in the pass rush game. So to give our offense a good look going into this week, we at least get a little bit. Nobody can exactly mimic what Mr. Donald can do, but you want to give the best look in practice you can. I think we got some of the guys to do that. So hopefully they're getting their work in this week. Today is Tuesday. This is a day off, but tomorrow is going to be the big work day for them. And I know they're going to be emphasizing on what 99 can do to an offensive line.
For sure. Maybe with Kenny coming back, you know, getting healthier from that knee / calf, whatever was going on with him against the Ravens, maybe that will allow him to have a little bit more mobility this week. I'm glad you brought up Steelers defense too, though, because we've talked a lot about offense on the show. Obviously that's your forte, but what has my attention this week against the Rams, the boy wonder, Sean McVay, still the maestro of that offense, comes from the Mike Shanahan coaching tree. Saw what a Shanahan offense did to the Steelers in week one, Trey. We saw what a, you know, much less experienced and explosive Shanahan offense did to them week four in Houston.
Right.
How much concern is there that it's just a bad matchup or a bad schematic issue for the Steelers when they run into now what the Rams are going to try to do with a more experienced quarterback by far than both the 49ers and the Texans had in Matt Stafford, throwing to Cooper Kupp and everybody's breakout guy, Puka Nacua, out there.
Puka Nacua. He's he's on my fantasy team. I picked him up
week one. Oh, my gosh. I'm jealous of you right now.
He's been fantastic. But unfortunately for me, I got to sit him because I can never start the guys that are going against Pittsburgh. It's just my thing. So
then you're like rooting. You don't know what you're rooting for. You feel a little weird inside. Yeah, I got you.
Exactly. And with the way Cooper is looking, like he was never hurt. His big game this past weekend. He looks fantastic his first 2 weeks back. So those two actually we have our work cut off for us on the defensive side of the ball. But one of the things that I think we have going for us, and we really got to hone in on during this bye week, is stopping the run. That has been something that has been uncharacteristically bad for us the last couple of years, and no exception this year. We're still not great in that aspect of our defense. And the Rams we're getting them at the right time, because they lost both of their running backs, I think, for at least a week, and Kyren Williams and Ronnie Rivers.
Yeah.
And so this is the time for us to really establish making the Rams one-dimensional. Now, that's still going to be a tough task when you got Cooper Kupp.
That's a good dimension. Yeah.
That's a good dimension to have if that's your only one. But, I mean, at least they can make them a little bit more predictable, therefore letting our guys on the edge get after them, Highsmith and obviously TJ. If we can make Stafford hold on to that ball that extra second, then one of them can get back there and cause some havoc. But definitely, I think we need to concentrate on stopping the run. And this is a perfect game to do it with them down, some running backs, and us being able to establish that this week coming off a bye week, I think is crucial.
seemed like that quick game from Brock Purdy and CJ Stroud really neutralized TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith and those two blowout losses. But also, like, I remember talking to Patrick Peterson, who's been around, seen it all after the Texans game. And he's like, man, you know, that's all the eye candy, the perimeter runs, like it really was San Fran 2.0. Now this, you know, it could be another, problem for them this week. But hey, after the way TJ Watt and Alex Highsmith were getting after Lamar Jackson, you can probably feel somewhat good that they're going to get it tightened up on the defensive side.
And the kid, Kanua Bitten, I really like the way he's been playing up front. We needed somebody like him to really step up in Cam's absence, somebody on the D-line. Like Larry Ogunjobi has been playing fantastic, but he needs some help. And we need to do it by committee because nobody can do what 97 does. Just like 99 for the Rams, 97 is that for us. And it's good to see the rookie step up in some big situations that I think he's going to be crucial this week is if we want to stop the run and put some more pressure on Stafford.
Yeah, everybody talks about Broderick Jones and Joey Porter Jr. needing to play. I'm with you, Trey. I think Keanu Benton probably needs to play a little bit more too at this point, based on what he's shown.
Definitely.
Well, just the last thing. Do you get a warm and fuzzy feeling when you see Steelers versus Rams? Wasn't that one of your better games toward the end of your career when you played center the whole game and you just kind of got thrown in the deep end and let it rip and you guys shut them out 27-0?
Yeah, that was one of my better games, if not my best game. It was Christmas Eve or Christmas Day, I think, actually, too. So it ended up being a very good holiday presence as well. But that tells you my age. That was back when they were still in St. Louis. You know, and they had Steven Jackson back there running the ball. So
they might be signing Steven Jackson this week to be their backup running back. So
we'll I know, right? They're definitely down some dogs back there. But yeah, definitely some good feelings when going against the Rams. Hopefully, we can have a similar outcome this week versus the Rams that I did when I had that good game back then. But yeah, definitely some good feelings when I think about us playing against them.
Well, hey, thanks so much for joining me, Trey. Keep all those comments coming on the platform formerly known as Twitter. I'd love to see your thoughts on this team as they go through the season. Everybody watching at home, you can see his handle there, TreyDay79. Give him a follow. Check him out. Anything else you want to add before I let you go, man?
No, I appreciate it, Brian. I'm just looking forward to a good week of football. We had a stress-free Sunday this past weekend. Now it's time for us to see if we can rally like we did at the end of the bye last year. So I'm hoping to see some good things from the black and yellow this weekend.
For sure. Thanks to all the listeners out there as well. Before I sign off, just a quick plug for upcoming event next month. The Great Yinzer Tailgate is bringing the best of the Berg to South Point on November 4th, showcasing Pittsburgh's rich culture, iconic sports history, and vibrant community spirit. The Great Yinzer Tailgate, it will immerse you in the unique blend of traditions that make Pittsburgh legendary. Visit www.thegreatyinzertailgate.com for details. Thanks again to Trey Essex. I'm Brian Batko from the Post Gazette. I will talk to you on the Friday show with our guy Chris Carter, and I'm going to be heading out to LA on Saturday, so that'll be a fun time as well. Keep it locked here on the postgazette.com website for all of our shows, all of our content all week, getting you ready for Steelers Rams. See you, folks.
Thank you for checking out this content from Post Gazette Sports. If you enjoyed the video, please like it and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Check out our Apple Podcast channel for more podcast content. Click below for a special deal of 99 cents for a 3-month subscription to the Pittsburgh Post Gazette.